Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete.
On today's show, we'll be doing some highlights from our first full year of Viewpoints and giving a preview of what's to come in 2012. We'll talk about some of the logistics of creating the show and play some of our favorite clips, as well as describing what's on our new website. But first, to our tip of the week. This week's tip is, if you have a chance to do something new, go for it, which was advice that we finally took from ourselves when we agreed to do this show.
A lot of this show is about trying to motivate people to do things for themselves that they might not think they'd be able to do and finding ways of doing it, and then also for giving you ideas for how to do things different ways. You know, and also we've heard stories about other people with visual disabilities who have accomplished some amazing things, and some of these stories are really kind of neat.
So we were a little bit nervous about getting started with our weekly radio program. We went for it anyway, and along the line, we've learned a lot. We've had a lot of fun. We're really glad we got involved in it. And as Pete said, we met some terrific people. And in the process of interviewing them, they've given all of us some good advice that we can live by.
We seem to think that because we're missing something, that we're not normal. And my advice is that never let anyone tell you what you can do. What you can do comes from within you. It comes from inside of you. It doesn't come from someone telling you you can or cannot do something.
My suggestion to voters would be, don't give up.
With technology, you have to be a bit adventurous, because this is like now becoming a pair of your eyes in a way.
I need to invite all people to learn through the internet, really. Because for me, I learned through the internet because I can't find here a blind musician that can teach me. Through the internet, we can learn everything that we need. We can achieve different things that we can't achieve in past years.
I think we're, as blind people these days, we've got a lot to be grateful for, you know, with all this technology, things, the access to things we can get these days. It's like it's far better than when I think back, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. I think there's a lot of good things there, but doesn't mean to say that there's not still more to be done.
You have to remember, like, you know, there's a way to solve it. Just step back and, you know, take a deep breath, and everything usually works out.
That was Jose Tamayo from show 1150 on Extreme Sports for the Blind. He's doing some fabulous canoe trips. Abby Freeman from show 1144 on accessible voting. Victor Tsaran from show 1151 about music production using sonar with JAWS. Rami Mustafa from show 1146 about music performance and annotation. Ross McGregor from show 1130 about being a blind professional musician. And Rebecca Alford from show 1143 about selecting and applying to college.
And we want to thank them all for sharing their stories and you know, offering their time to talk with us and learn about what's going on with their lives.
And all of the other people that we've interviewed over the year. Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll be talking about some of the logistics of creating the show. Other NPR programs list their major supporters. Well, this is a volunteer effort for me and Pete, but it takes real studio time and real staff from WXXI Reach Out Radio to create each show. And the funding from that comes from WXXI supporters and from the Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired here in Rochester, New York. And we want to thank everybody who contributes that way to the show also. And as we've said many times on the show, our home radio reading service is provided by WXXI Reach Out Radio here in Rochester, New York. And we've been airing this show since the first week in January of 2011. The first other radio reading service that picked up the show was the Canadian Nationwide Station out of Toronto, Ontario, I believe. followed by Maine Airs in Brewer, Maine, WJCT's Radio Reading Service in Jacksonville, Florida, Radio Talking Books Service in Omaha, Nebraska, WKAR Radio Reading Service in East Lansing, Michigan, and starting the first week of 2012, North Texas Radio for the Blind in Dallas, Texas. And we are so happy to have all of you listeners, as well as those who listen to the podcast from all over the world.
And if your radio reading service is broadcasting this show and we haven't listed you, we'd like to hear from you and just to know how you're liking the show and even that it is in your area. And if the show isn't in your area and you're listening via the podcast, maybe you can talk to your local radio reading service or public radio station and get the show aired in your area.
And you can send us an email note at viewpoints@wxxi.org. We love hearing from people. So through the year, we've been including a lot of interviews. Thank you so much to all the people we've interviewed throughout the year. Well, here's how we've done them. We started out and occasionally still resort to using the Bookport Plus that we talked about in show 1133.
That's been a pretty handy device for doing remote recordings on site and stuff. And although it's a little recorder and mostly a player of Daisy and other audio material for the blind, it actually has very decent recording capabilities.
And it's very portable. So we just stick it in Pete's pocket, pull it out, turn it on, and we've gotten some great recordings that way. Most of the interviews we do over Skype, which we talked about in show 1111. We started out using something called MP3 Skype Recorder. Now we set up two microphones through some other hardware.
I have a professional mixer, the Sapphire Pro, and we hooked that through Sonar, which is an audio production and mixing program, which we've talked about in previous shows.
That was show 1151.
And that enables us to get even a better quality and some more editing capabilities and all. But Skype also enables us to speak, you know, worldwide with people. So we've interviewed people from Egypt to Australia, England, as well as people within the U.S. Since this is rather a low-budget volunteer operation, you know, cost is an issue. So Skype is a great way for doing those things.
And then we edit the resulting interviews for content using Audacity, which is a free tool that you can download. And we talked about that in show 1107.
I've been amazed what you've been able to accomplish with Audacity. Even though it is a free program, it has some very sophisticated audio editing capabilities, and you've been able to do some quite remarkable things there.
Oh, thank you. I've learned how to do things that I never even heard of before this show started.
We do learn as we go along, and we've had lots of good hints from our mentor, Ruth Finney, who's the program director here at WXXI.
So through the year, we've gotten comments from some of our listeners. People have contacted us in a variety of ways, either by email, telephone, liking us on Facebook, or picking up the show for their area. And we may have missed a few, but so far we've heard from people in 42 states across the United States, as well as from in alphabetical order, and this is a pretty long list for which I apologize, but I didn't want to leave anyone out. Australia, Azerbaijan, Canada, China, Czech Republic, Egypt, England, France, Germany, Hong Kong, India, Italy, Jamaica, Japan, Mexico, Morocco, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Nigeria, the Philippines, Portugal, Russia, Saudi Arabia, South Africa, Spain, Sweden, Thailand, and Ukraine. The only inhabited continent we're missing so far is South America. So if you know anybody in South America, send them a note, tell them to listen to Viewpoints. We're just waiting to see when the first person from South America starts listening to the show. So as we've said, we've gotten contacted in a number of ways. One guy named Thomas actually sends us audio clips via email.
Just listening to your show this week about games. I remember some of those. I remember having the Big Simon. I remember having a travel Simon going to Pennsylvania 12 hours. I think my family was pretty mad about that game time. We were done getting there. Between the lights flashing and the noise all the time. I remember Bop It. We still sell Bop It at Walmart where I work. Anyway, I just wanted to say that. Keep up the good work, and I can't wait to see what you guys have next week. See you later.
Yeah, it's kind of neat to hear those audio clips from people. That's a little bit special.
And we talked about accessible games and toys in show 1135. Jim, who runs Visionaries in Webster, New York, sent us a note saying that he had set up his podcatcher to pick up Viewpoints and listen to our recent shows. They were delightful. Of course, we love hearing people who tell us nice things. And he said he's looking forward to becoming a steady listener and sharing Viewpoints with his Visionaries group. And we talked about local support groups in show 1116. So if you think you might be the only blind person with your set of issues in your neighborhood, you're probably not. There might be a local support group in your neighborhood. It's worth looking for one. Keith sent us a note via email saying that, you know, thank you for the link to Viewpoints. I guess Pete had met him on some blind distribution list. And he'd looked it over, and it's great. I've listened to your recent show about Jaws and found it helpful. I think I'll be spending hours on your site in the near future. And we talked about various features of Jaws, the basics in show 1109, advanced features in 1134, and new features in Jaws 13, which was recently released in show 1147.
So we appreciate those listener comments. I mean, first of all, it gives us some positive feedback to let us know that people are enjoying the show. And then also, you know, sometimes they have suggestions for other shows or what might be different and what might be improved. And we're always open to suggestions. So anytime you want to write or call, just let us know. And that is great feedback for us.
You are listening to Viewpoints, 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 Viewpoints.
This week's focus topic will be highlights from the first year of Viewpoints and a preview of some of our interesting topics that we have planned for 2012. So here are some of our favorite moments from earlier shows in 2011. Here's the introduction from our very first show. This was the first thing we ever said into these microphones. Hi, I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
We'd like to welcome you to the first session of Viewpoints, a radio program featuring ideas and information for the visually impaired to help you live more independently.
So I'm actually visually impaired myself, and we'd like to share some of the tips we've learned and picked up through the years about living with a disability like that. My state of my vision now is I see basically lights and shadows. I was born with congenital glaucoma and have had many complications since.
I'm sighted, and with eyeglasses, I have normal corrected vision. But I've been married to Pete for 27 years, so I've got that much experience living with a visually impaired person.
28 years now.
And every one of them's been wonderful.
That's true.
So by now, if you've been listening to the show, you should be used to hearing Samantha, a synthetic voice, introduce the show and do the little outro at the end. One week, we got a little bit creative. We were doing a show on dating and beyond. That was show 1121. And instead of the usual breaker tune, we got Samantha to sing.
I'm in the mood for love. Simply because you're near me. Funny, but when you're near me, I'm in the mood for love. Heaven is in your eyes, bright as the stars we're under. Oh, is it any wonder? I'm in the mood for love.
Anyway, we didn't have the ability or the tools to put that together ourselves, and Pete sent a note asking for advice on one of his blind DLs, and Ross McGregor from all the way around the world in Australia said, oh, I can help you with that. And he explained just how he made Samantha sing in show 1130 about being a blind professional musician.
Well, that's one of the great powers of the internet, and we've reinforced that many times on the show. Is just, you know, the community of people around the world can interact pretty seamlessly, and you can get help and advice from all kinds of people from around the world. And we've certainly done that with this show, and, you know, taken advantage of other people's expertise and knowledge to tell us about different topics on the show.
So that was so much fun getting Samantha to sing that in show 1122, which was the next one where we were talking about getting and listening to audiobooks, in particular Learning Ally, which had just changed its name from Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic, we gave Samantha another cameo.
Okay, let me give this a shot, Learning Ally, how was that?
Terrible. Try again. Sounds like Learning Ally.
Okay, once more, Learning Ally.
Not much better. Sounds like Learning Ally.
Okay, I give up. Can you do any better?
Of course. Learning Ally. Ha ha ha. At least I can say Learning Ally properly.
So that was a little argument that I put together between the JAWS Eloquence Speech Synthesizer, which was the lower pitched one, and the Samantha voice from JAWS, which is one of the real speak voices. And when Learning Ally did change their name, it turned out that the Eloquence Speech Synthesizer wasn't pronouncing it correctly. So I think that's been rectified in some of the newer versions of JAWS and some feedback from users and Learning Ally.
So as we mentioned, we've done a lot of interviews. We started off as newbies. We weren't so good at it, maybe.
There is an art to interviewing.
We hope we've improved through the year, but here's an early interview that we started off kind of slowly in show 1133 about living with a blind person. This is us and our kids. Growing up, can you think of any accommodations you had to make because Dad couldn't see? Do you remember leading Dad down hikes?
Yes. Yep.
Can you elaborate?
That interview got off to a slow start, didn't it?
But it improved. And then there was that classic scene when we came into the NPR studios, which is usually fairly well-behaved. And we were doing a show on blind-friendly games and toys. That's number 1135. And we actually brought our Bop-It into the studio. So here's our Bop-It. Oops.
Oh, that sounded terrible. But it shows you can have fun in the studio even when everyone is supposed to be working.
Well, we did close the door, and this is a soundproof booth, so maybe we didn't disturb too many people. But we had fun. And then there was show 1136 about Vinix, or Vinix, which is a fully accessible operating system. It's a version of Linux. And we interviewed Tony Sales. He's the main driver behind Vinix.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Oh,
what was that?
I liked it. I thought it was you.
No, it wasn't me.
My new hooter.
It's your new hooter, is it?
I've got a hooter in the classroom, so when people come in late, I can go.
I guess in the United Kingdom, they have a different meaning for hooter than we do in the U.S. here.
Right, and that was Mo Iqbal also as part of the interview.
But that was a fun surprise during the interview.
Right. And then we had a special treat when we were preparing show 1140 about the accessibility of art museums. We went to our local art museum, and Pete got a personalized audio tour and touch tour.
Peter, I'm going to have you just put your hands straight ahead.
And now, I'm sometimes mean to him and make him guess what it is.
That is exactly what I was going to do.
Oh, please, are we going to do this?
You got two minis.
Yeah?
You got two minis here, and so
but
I'm going to
say, take pity on it because this is
this
not
really
going to happen.
Hard.
Feels
this
like
is
a fish.
All right. Well, what do you see? I'm just going to use that
Well,
language.
I mean, this little thing here feels like a mouth, like it's
okay.
a fish's
All right.
mouth.
And then these look like two little eyes.
Okay.
Looks like a porpoise or something.
Okay.
It took a little while for Susan to warm me up to the idea of touching the exhibits at the museum as part of their tactile exhibit. But it was finally very interesting to be able to perceive the artwork in that form. Usually I have people describe those things to me because, as you know, you're not allowed to touch those things in a museum.
Well, they did give you rubber gloves.
That's true. That was a nice experience, though, very different.
Yeah, it was really special. You know, we've been trained all our lives, don't touch the art. But they allow blind people to do that because they know you're not going to see it if you don't. So we've covered a whole lot of different topics. We mentioned several in the process of playing those clips. Some of the other topics we've covered, and this is just in the second half of the year because show 1126 was a retrospective of the first half of the year. We've covered several sources of accessible reading material. There were many more of those in the first half of the year, but in the second half of the year, we talked about getting library books in either audio or ebook format using OverDrive and Adobe Digital Editions. Also about using an e-reader if you're low vision, they can be a great tool, and about various audio file formats, including DAISY. For computer access, as we mentioned, we did a show on Vinix, the accessible operating system. We've talked about screen readers, hotspot clicker sets, several sessions on various features of JAWS. For communications, we've talked about landline phones, cell phones, smartphones, Skype, and Google Voice, all great ways you can keep in touch with people. Music and music editing software using Audacity, Sonar, Sibelius, all of them with adaptive technology to make them work. Art museums, GPS, education, voting, and one of our favorite fun shows, living with a blind person.
So we've covered a lot of different topics, and you know, we encourage people to go back to the website and look over some of the old shows if you haven't listened to them. And there are also, we'll talk more about the website later on, but you can pick up show notes there and other resources.
And for 2012, our first session will be about Open Book. And we have other sessions planned on employment and training at our local Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. More extreme sports for the blind. This will be skiing and snowboarding. Enabling the blind to use touch screens. Who would have thought that would be possible? But there's some active research going on making that actually feasible. Audio description in live theater. Sarah. Summer camps and other programs for the visually impaired, more features of the Bookport Plus, and birding for the blind. We go out in the woods, and Pete always strikes up a conversation with whoever's tweeting in the trees, and he says, what kind of bird is that? I look up, I'm like, I don't know, it looks like a tree.
If you have suggestions for other topics, feel free to let us know, and we'll give you our contact information later on in the show.
Turning now to this week's high-tech item, we'll be talking about our web presence. We have a homepage at www.viewpointsplus.net. We're also on Facebook at www.facebook.com/viewpointsplus. And there's a couple of reasons why these are called Viewpoints Plus instead of just Viewpoints. Reason number one was Viewpoints was taken. Apparently there are some talk shows, there are several talk shows, and one of them had grabbed the name Viewpoints, and then we had to think, well, what are we going to call ourselves if we can't call ourselves Viewpoints? And so we chose Viewpoints Plus because there's actually additional information besides just what's in the show on the viewpointsplus.net website.
And although we haven't talked about the web much in the past 6 months or so, this has really been a work in progress. And we've been putting it together over time with some different capabilities and all. And we really intended to be a place where people could get some additional resources. One thing we thought was interesting was to have some show notes along with each audio version of each show. That way, these show notes, we mention a lot of contact information, web addresses, phone numbers, and stuff like that in each show. And that's hard to catch in an audio format. So we thought it would be useful to have a text-based file on the web that would give all this information that if you didn't catch it in the show, couldn't write it down, you could just go to the show notes, and there that stuff would be, along with links to the products and agencies and resources that we've talked about.
We've got the podcast, the archive of all of the shows that we've done, so all the way back to show 1101, that was our very first show. If you're wondering about the numbering of these shows, we didn't really start 1100 shows in, but the first two digits are just what year it is. So 1101 was the first show of 2011, but we've got the entire archive all the way back to the first show.
And along with a brief description of each show, so you can read down the list and see which shows you might be interested in perusing.
And we've got a listener survey. We put up a pilot of a listener survey. It was just one question: where did you hear about us? Well, of course, you know, the people who were going to the website, most of them had heard about it from these various blind distribution lists and had just clicked on the link and got there from there.
But we'd like to make that a regular feature where we change the question every couple of weeks or every month or so. We haven't really told people about it, so we've left it up for a while just to make sure it's working properly and things like that. But we'll change the question every month or every few weeks, and maybe we can have a little fun with that. If you have some questions that you'd like to get answered in a survey form, we'd consider that too.
We're always hoping to get ideas from our listeners because, first of all, that's one less idea we need to come up with, but second of all, it's guaranteed to be of interest to at least the person who asked the question.
And so there's several ways of contacting us. I mean, one way is by sending us an email to contact@viewpointsplus.net. That's viewpointsplus.net. Or you can call us at
area code 585-258-0333. And there's another email address you can use. That's viewpoints@wxxi.org. And either way, it'll get to us. So that's it for this week's show. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about OpenBook. OpenBook is an optical character recognition scanning and reading application designed specifically for the visually impaired. In this show, we'll demonstrate and discuss many of the features that set OpenBook apart from other OCR software and show how it can be used with the Pearl camera to quickly and easily read documents. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to viewpoints@wxxi.org or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio. Hosts Nancy Goodman Torpy and Peter Torpy research and write each episode and produce each interview. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.viewpointsplus.net. You can also download a podcast of our show at www.wxxi.org/podcasts.